Let's say, start with the lecture verse. The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Can you all hear me? Great. So, at the time of the Buddha, he had a lay donor, and I can't remember the donor's name. I didn't actually even look up the story because I remembered it this morning and I just didn't want to go through it. But it's in one of the stories of the Buddha. And this lay donor had been generous to the Sangha, supported the Sangha for years, and he was dying. And the Buddha sent Shariputra and Ananda to be with him. And they went and saw him, and he was dying, and Shariputra gave him some teaching, and he started crying. And Ananda came to him and said, are you leaving? Are you passing? And don't be afraid. And he said, no, Ananda, I'm crying because the Dharma Shariputra gave me was so beautiful. And he said, I've never heard it before. Please share it with the laity. There are people who will understand it. So there was this thread in the Sangha that the monks were the ones who could handle the teaching and the lay people perhaps could not. Hence, today I'm going to talk about Vimalakirti, who was a lay person who put all the monks to shame. And well, he should have. So, and there's, I have to tell you, probably 40 years ago, 35 years ago, I read the Vimalakirti Sutra, and it bounced right off me. I thought, whoa, what's this about? I have no idea. But there was a story in it, and I loved a particular story in it, which is going to be the heart of my Dharma talk today. But I got to give you some background. You know me, I have lots of words I put in the background. So I won't tell you the story just yet, but the interesting thing was after about 15 or 20 years, I forgot where I read the story. And I thought it was in the Lotus Sutra. And I reread the Lotus Sutra three times looking for that story, and I could never find it. And it wasn't until I read this book called Vimalakirti and the Awakened Heart, which is a pithy and wonderful little book. It's a commentary on the Vimalakirti Sutra by Joan Sutherland. And I'm also going to be referring to the holy teaching of Vimalakirti, which was translated. This is the sutra, and it was translated by Robert Thurman. And there's one more sutra out there, and that's the one I read originally, and I believe it's by Burton Watson, which is also the actual sutra itself. So these two are the ones I'm going to be referring to for my Dharma talk. And the Vimalakirti Sutra, as I said, is very profound and very dense. And so we need a little background to what's going on in the Vimalakirti Sutra. And there, like many sutras, if you read them, there are all kinds of clues. And you can be in this situation and you think, oh, that person's stupid. Well, that person is us. So we need to take the clues. People are in there for a reason, and they're doing things, and we're not separate from that reason. And that's a very important part of the sutra. So the Vimalakirti Sutra begins with the Buddha. Well, actually, it begins with something else, which I will tell you about. But very soon in the sutra, the Buddha says to his disciples, Vimalakirti is ill, and we need someone to go see him. So he turns to Shariputra and he says, Shariputra, will you go see him? Shariputra is a saint. He is one of the Buddha's chief disciples. But Shariputra says, oh, no, no, I can't go see Vimalakirti. And he goes through how he was meditating in the forest, and Vimalakirti came up and told him he wasn't doing it right. And it goes on from there. You get the teaching throughout the scripture of what Vimalakirti told various people. And this goes on and on. One disciple after another turns the Buddha down, and they tell them stories about, oh, you know, that wonderful Vimalakirti, but no, I don't want to go see him because I'm afraid, you know. I mean, he'll see right through me. He'll know where I am. And, you know, they don't say it quite that directly, but they say that they can't go see him because his teaching is so profound. And it kind of scares them. So what's going on there? And I think part of what's going on is that we have this sense of how good we are as practitioners. We've been doing this training for a long time. Oh, aren't we great? And Vimalakirti is the one who puts the needle in that balloon and deflates it. And a number of the monks who answer say to the Buddha, I was speechless by what he said. I had no idea what to say to him. I was in the dark. I didn't know how to respond. And so that created a fear for them. And when we think about it, that's a very important clue for us all. Do we step back from something because of our own fear of being shown that perhaps we don't know as much as we think we know? And isn't training about this very thing, that actually it's endless, and we're all training, and we're all learning things, and each moment is new. And so that's a very helpful thing. And also that we shouldn't perhaps have pride in thinking, oh, I'm a monk, or I'm a lay person, or I'm a lay minister, or I know this, but actually pride, to see our own pride, and see how it keeps us from really going deeper in our own training. And it wasn't just the Buddha's disciples. It was actually some bodhisattvas. Maitreya actually said, no, 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 I can't go talk to him. He came and visited me when I was staying in the Tushita heaven. He started asking me questions. I couldn't answer them, you know. So anyway, it's worth reading all these things. But finally, Manjushri, who is the Bodhisattva of Wisdom, so that's a clue. The Bodhisattva of Wisdom says, oh, okay, I'm not afraid. I'll go see him. I'm willing to have him best me, quote unquote. And that's really important. That's very good. Now, Joan Sutherland says that Manjushri is the metaphor for insight, that part of our training where we're willing to jump in and find the truth. And Vimalakirti, she says, is actually the heart, the metaphor for the heart or the compassion. Because Vimalakirti is sick. And why is he sick? Manjushri goes and asks him, and he says, I'm sick because the world is sick. How can I not be sick? Everything is sick. When the world gets better, I'll get better. So Vimalakirti represents our heart, the compassion of our practice. So we have both insight and compassion. And these are the pillars of our training. And these are the clues that this scripture is pointing to. So let me see, did I miss something? So, as soon as Manjushri says, I'll go, everybody says, oh, I want to go now. I want to see Manjushri talk to Vimalakirti. So they all go, all these thousands and thousands of people. And Vimalakirti, of course, is very, how do you say it? I can't think of the word. But he sees that they're all coming. And so he empties his house. Now there's another clue. We're about to have a dialogue with someone. Empty our house. Be empty. Reverend Master Ju used to talk about that spiritual practice helps us become the pipe through which the water flows. And so we clean the pipe. We clean the things that obstruct. And so Vimalakirti empties his house. He's ready for this. So it's really beautiful. Now, all Mahayana scriptures, well, no, I can't say all, because I haven't read them all. But the ones I've read, they have, they work on the premise of the Heart Sutra, of form is only pure, and pure is all form. There is then nothing more than this. That's what our sutra says. And that is very profound. And that is what's going on in this scripture. Okay? Now, Robert, Thurman quotes, matter is not void because of voidness. Voidness is not elsewhere from matter. Matter is voidness. Voidness itself is matter. Well, that's form is only pure. Pure is all form. There is then nothing more than this. Okay? There's just another way of saying it. And another thing to keep in mind when reading the scriptures, and also this scripture in particular, is the idea of not two. That duality is what we do to separate ourselves from others and conditions, but that the reality of life is form is only pure, pure is all form. There is not a not two. We are all interpenetrating each other and all things simultaneously, which is very hard to grasp, but it's a thread that runs through this sutra. So, and it runs through the Dharma talk. So you'll get the heart of what I'm saying if you remember form is only pure and that things are interpenetrating and that all is not two. So, Vimalakirti is a lay person and there is nothing that hinders our practice, whether we are lay or monastic. Nothing hinders us except our own minds, except our own views. And that's what we get to train with. So so you'll be in sympathy with all these poor monastic disciples who are afraid of going to see Vimalakirti. Subhuti went to see Vimalakirti. And this is why he declined to go when he was sick. And he was on an alms round, and Vimalakirti came and filled his alms bowl with all this delicious food. And then he said to him, holding the alms bowl to give him back, you can eat this food if, and then he talks for a page and a half of all these conditions. And I'll give you one little sentence out of this whole page and a half that he says. He says, take this food if, without abandoning desire, hatred, and folly, you can avoid association with them. Well, hatred, greed, hate, and delusion, these are called the three poisons. And what he's saying is, without abandoning them, can you avoid association with them? That's incredibly profound to me. Your head kind of goes, oh, wait, that's different. I always thought about the three poisons as transforming them and making them different. I'm going to avoid, you know, I'm not going to act on my greed or whatever. But he's talking about just don't abandon them. See them. They are a part of things. Just don't associate with them. Don't act on them. Very profound. That's one sentence. At the end, Subhuti ended up not taking the food and starting, not taking his bowl and starting to walk away. And Subhuti is the monk who the Buddha gave the Diamond Sutra to. So Subhuti was foremost in non-disputatiousness and also no self. He had really converted anger. He had let go of his self. So this is no dummy. But he starts to walk away. He leaves. He doesn't know what to say to Vimalakirti. Vimalakirti says, come on back. Take the food. You know, so anyway, you get a sense that Vimalakirti is not separate from the Buddha in a sense. So there's this beautiful story at the beginning of the Vimalakirti Sutra, which is germane to what I'm talking about. The Shariputra comes up to the Buddha and he says, Lord, you say that this land is a pure land, but all I see, I just don't experience that way. It that way, is that I experience as full of suffering, full of horror, and ugliness. So the Buddha gets off his seat, stands up, and he pushes his toe into the earth. And all of a sudden, Vimalakirti sees jewel trees, flowers, lovely scents. Everything is beautiful, and he experiences the pure land. Here's another clue. What is this pointing to? It is our own perceptions that limit us from what is real. We see the pure land as awful. We do. Don't Shariputra's no dummy. We see it. We're Shariputra. We could be, if we trained and trained, we'd be lucky to be as far along as Shariputra. So you know, it's just, but in that moment, change the way you see things. Oftentimes, it's a slight view, change, shift in our view that opens up a world to us. And that is what this sutra is about. This is Vimalakirti shaking the cage, shaking our cage, and saying, look at this differently. Look at everything differently with new eyes. So, I think this is the heart of what's going on in our world, is that we tend to be stuck. Think of it. I mean, we all complain. We complain about conditions. We complain about other people. We judge other people for their mistakes. We judge ourselves for our mistakes. Dilgo Khyentse, in his commentary in a book called Enlightened Courage, he says, to criticize another is to see our own impure mind. Well, that's a really high standard. I mean, think about it, because think about how much we criticize and judge others. And it's really us. It's really our own mind that's going on. And our judgments of ourselves and others are really the roadblock. It isn't the other person. It isn't the condition. It's how are we going to see these things that breaks up the roadblock. So this is the thread. So this is the heart of that runs through our the scripture. Now, all this was background. Now we finally get to talk about the story, which for me had a I didn't remember the Vimalakirti Sutra until I started reading it again, and actually love it now. But the story I remember. The story made perfect sense to me. So, they're in this room, all these bodhisattvas and saints and disciples and sincere trainees are in this room with Vimalakirti. And this goddess is in the room. And she's been living in Vimalakirti's house for 12 years. So she's quite a powerful being. And she makes flowers start falling on all the people. And when in Buddhism, when flowers fall from the sky, it's a sign of auspiciousness. It means, oh, true teaching is going on. Oh, this is wonderful. And some of the flowers stick to some of the bodhisattvas and the saints. Now, because it's a Mahayana scripture, they make it stick primarily to the Theravada monks. But actually, I didn't remember that. I remembered it stuck to a whole variety of people. And that's actually the truth. Nobody has a lock on the truth. And everybody has their views. And we're all prone to having flowers fall and stick on us. And what the flowers that fall, it's a beautiful example because flowers are gorgeous. But when they stick to you, they're kind of saying, look at this person. They can't get rid of their flowers, which really means this person is stuck on their views. It's a beautiful example of it. And so to me, the flowers are really about our humanness. And this is such an important part of our practice. We are human beings. We make mistakes. We learn from our mistakes. The thing about the flowers falling is you get to see your mistake. It's stuck to you. Isn't that the way life is? We see other people's sticky flowers all the time. You think, oh, that person, they don't see what's going on. They've got a flower stuck to them. But we don't see the flowers that stick to us necessarily. So this is that in not two that I mentioned earlier. And I think our ability to fool ourselves is actually in part from the fetter of pride. I think that's there, that we think we know better than another, or we know what somebody else should do. The other thing about the sticky flowers is even though these people had psychic ability, they couldn't get the flowers to come off. That was the goddess. She was really tough. So she makes these flowers and they don't go off. And so we get to train with that. There is a line in the Sandokai. Set up not your own standards. That is what I think the sticky flowers are about. You've got your own standards going on here. Because what do we all do? When we make mistakes, we all know this. When you make a mistake, if you judge yourself, you can't deal with it. But if you see the mistake and you understand its cause and you contemplate it, then you begin to shift the paradigm that created the mistake, your ignorance of it, your inability to see it. And why is that any different from anybody else? We have to learn it for ourselves, and we have to give it to others. And so really, there can be no judgment of another. It's really important here, because we all make mistakes, and we want people somehow to be different than we can be. And it's not that. Again, from the Sandokai, if from your experience of the senses, basic truth you do not know, how can you ever find the path that certain is, no matter how far distant you walk? That's the heart of what's going on here. The truth opens us to each other. It doesn't. If we don't open to that truth, then we are blocked. We can't take the next step in our training. We're too busy judging another being, thinking they should be different or we should be different. And it is literally a roadblock on the path. So we have to just push it aside and trust ourselves to our training and know that it's all right, that we can all train with these things. That they're a mistake and that we're all capable and more than capable. It's that the mistakes themselves are like a precious flower. it is something very sacred and wonderful. And it kind of changes the whole way we look at things. We don't have to see it as, oh, I know what's right, I know what's wrong. It's just different. We just have faith in ourselves to shift. We have faith in others to shift. And we give them that space to train. And we believe in them. And that's a flower. That's a beautiful flower falling from the heaven. So we live in the world of the Saha world. It's the world of patient endurance. The Buddha said it's the highest virtue. So we have to be patient with ourselves, patient with others, and patient with this world. And that makes the flowers fall. So thank you very much. I hope this was helpful.